I'm just going to have Miss Janice play a little bit while these are praying. I wonder how many of you remember vividly where you were when the Lord reached down His hand for you. The problem with some Christians, I'm afraid we've just gotten over it. Amen. It's nothing but a vague memory. I hope it's just as real for you today as it was then. Whether it was a week ago or 50 years ago. Amen. I like what the old Uncle Bud Robertson, the old Nazarene preacher said. He was hair-lipped, tongue-tied, whatever you want to call it. And he said it just gets tweeter and tweeter. Amen. And that's what it does. Just like sugar, it just gets tweeter and tweeter. Amen. Thank God. It sure is good to be saved this morning. I'm not going to rush anybody in the altar, but go ahead and take your Bible and be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Can y'all hear me okay back there toward the back, Miss Kelly? Is it loud enough? Good, good. My ears are all stopped up and I can't hear myself, so maybe you can. Amen. What a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to read just a few verses this morning. Simple little thought, but I hope will be an encouragement to you and a help to you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Thank you, Sister Janice. Everybody find that in your Bible, okay? I'll give you a hint. It's right after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And let's pick up reading some very familiar scripture if you've been saved very long. If you're a preacher and you haven't preached from it, I'd wonder what's wrong with you. In verse number 7, the Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said, "I've got an affliction, and I understand why." Yeah. A lot of times things come in our life, and our number one response or question is, why? Why? Paul understood why. God was being so good to him, and God was using him in such a way and showing him so many things. He knew he had to have something to keep him humble. Yeah. And he said God had given him such a thing. A thorn in his flesh to buffet him. That means to hurt. Somebody said, what was wrong with him? I ain't got the foggiest idea. Amen. It don't say. Amen. They say some said it was his eyes and some said it was this and that. I don't know what it was, but it was a thorn. Maybe it's best we don't know. Maybe it's best we could put ourselves in that same situation, and whatever that thorn may have been the very same thorn you're carrying in your flesh this morning. But Paul said, let me get my other eyeballs down here. But Paul said in verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." He understands why he has it. Still doesn't make it easy to bear it. He knows he needs it to keep him humble, but he still wished he would rather just not live with it. So he said, "I asked the Lord three times, would he take this away from me?" Yes. Have you ever had the Lord tell you no? Yes, sir. Have you ever had the Lord just flat out say no? You know, God always answers our prayers. It just may not always be yes. He said, "I asked the Lord three times that he'd take this thing." And in verse number 9, excuse me, the Lord did answer his prayer. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me." He said, "I'd rather have the power of God than to be well. I'd rather have the power of God rest in me than to have a healthy body, to have this thorn taken away. But here Paul asked the Lord to take this thorn away, and then the Lord's answer was simply this: Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. What is grace? Somebody said it's God's unmerited favor toward man. God's unmerited favor toward man. In other words, we didn't deserve it. That's what grace is. Grace is something you get just because somebody loves you. Amen. Not because you earned one lick of it. He said, my grace, my unmerited favor towards you is sufficient. That word sufficient means more than enough. Just more than enough. His grace is more than enough. Would you agree with that this morning? If you've ever experienced it, you know that God's grace is sufficient. I thank God for grace. It was grace that got me saved. I was saved by the grace of God. I'm being kept by the grace of God. I've been through heartache and trouble and trial by the grace of God. Did you know this is one of my favorite subjects? I don't experience trials every day. I don't go through trials every day. Amen. There's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't go through every day. But did you know grace is something I experience every day of my life? There's not a day goes by that I'm not walking in and under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every breath I draw is because God loves me, and I don't deserve to draw that breath. It's unmerited. I didn't earn it. It was by His grace that He chose to give me another day. So every day you live, you're experiencing and living in the grace of God. Would you agree with that? Amen. Here's the thought this morning. He said it was sufficient. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. 1 Peter chapter 4, you don't have to turn to these. I just want to give you some thoughts to help explain this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible talks about the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. That ain't talking about the exhaust system on your car. The manifold, it's many-sided, the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 15, the Bible talks about the abundant grace of God. Abundant. You gotta know the Bible, understand that. Abundant means a whole heap. Abundant, I mean really, you get to be a scholar like me, you'll know abundant means a pile, son. Yes. Abundant. You ever had anything in abundance? Come on. You ever set out tomato plants and planted more than you and your family could eat, and you're having to give tomatoes to everybody? Hey, you want some tomatoes? You want some tomatoes? Why? Because you've got an abundant supply. Yeah. And that's the way it is with this grace. It's abundant. So God is just dealing it out every which way. I got grace running out my ears up here in heaven. I mean, there's grace all around the throne. There's grace in the tree of life. There's grace flooding up out of the river. We got to get rid of some of His grace. Amen. It's abundant. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 14. The Bible said it talks about the exceeding grace of God. The exceeding grace of God. It goes farther than you and I could ever imagine. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible said that God is the God of all grace. In other words, if we experience any grace whatsoever, we're going to get it from God because He is the author of it. He is the inventor and the maker of grace. Hallelujah. I kind of picture in my head He got a grace factory in heaven. But He don't. It's just Him. It's just Him. It's His essence. It's His person. It's who He is. He's a God of all grace. Hallelujah. Ain't that wonderful? It is if you know Him. Amen. I like James chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but He giveth more grace. He giveth more. You know what I found out after I got saved, Brother Shane? I need more grace. I need more grace. Lord, save my soul. Never been another feeling in my heart like that in my life. I mean, boy, I thought I was 10-foot tall and bulletproof, but I found out the next day I didn't need to get saved again, but I needed more grace. Man, I had that saving grace, but now I needed some living grace. One of these days I'm going to come to a point I'm going to need some dying grace. Amen. He giveth more grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 14. I like this one. The Bible said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. y'all gotta take this book literally. Exceeding abundant. Now we talked about abundant, that's a pile. That's more than enough, that's more than you can even use. But he said it exceeded abundance. Now, I don't know where you live, but that's a whole lot of grace. That's a whole lot of grace. Here's what I want to talk to you. This little thought this morning. There is just too much grace in this place. There is just too much grace in this place. Brother Harry closed out our camp meeting a couple Sunday nights ago, and he preached that famous Harry Nix message on grace. What a sermon, what a sermon. I had our preacher boys in our class last Sunday. Their homework was to bring me a three-point outline on the grace of God. Brother Don Majors, I made them each get up and read their outlines, and I stole a couple of them. They had pretty good sermons. And then old Brother Don stood up and he started reading his, and he got through with number three. He said, Brother Eddie, he said, I'm sorry, I just couldn't stop. And he just kept on going. Had five or six points, I don't remember how many, but you know what he found out? He got to digging in it, and three just wouldn't describe it. Three just wouldn't touch it. He just found out there was just too much grace in this place. You and I have been very fortunate. You and I have been very blessed to worship in a place where God continually manifests Himself in His person, in His presence, in His power. We've seen God move. Oh, yes. We've seen God move. I talk to pastors sometime and they talk about how dry and dead it is and how long it's been since they've seen a spirit of revival or seen anybody get saved or seen anybody's life change. And I thought, God, you've spoiled me rotten. I feel like we're living under the Niagara Falls of grace in springtime. It just flows and it flows and it flows and it flows in this place. And sometimes I think we're just very ungrateful for how good God is and how generous He is with His grace. You stay around here long, you're going to know something about the grace of God. You stay around here long, there's going to be something cause you to go far out, man. That's awesome. Come on, talk to me. Somebody ought to just get happy with me this morning. I hate having church by myself. You take you one good little eyeball full of Ashley Hofford. I know you get tired of hearing it, but I don't get tired of telling it. Cancer from head to toe. 26-year-old first-time mama. Eat up with cancer. The most aggressive cancer we've ever seen. And now they can't even find it. Amen. With a magnifying glass. Good God Almighty, somebody ought to shout right there. That's enough to make you go, wow, man. Ain't God good? You say, what is that? That's grace. That's grace. We've watched countless lives be changed and transformed in this place. People that society had literally given up on, find them a place in an altar. We've watched Edwina Connell, after her little niece prayed, pray my Aunt Edwina to get saved. We watched her bow in the altar and come to know Christ and then become a great servant of the Lord. We've watched life after life. We've even seen people come in that their own families had given up on. Amen. I've actually run into people who are kin to you and said, I had your relative in church Sunday. Well, I doubt it'll do them any good. I want to punch them in the mouth. And say, man, you just don't know how good the grace of God is around our place. You just don't know what my God can do. Why? There's just too much grace in this place. You can't walk through here and not get some on you. Amen. You can't. You can't hang around here and not feel it every now and then. You say, y'all too emotional. There's too much grace in here. There's too much goodness, there's too much mercy, and too much kindness of the Lord for us not to get happy and clap our hands a little bit and shout a little bit. Why? Because we don't know about the grace of God. We're not singing about the grace of God. We are living in the grace of God. We're not going to sing and shout when we get to heaven. We know we're going. We're going. Do it now. Amen. My goodness, this thing's swelling up on me. His grace and mercy are still abundant. They're still more than enough. Let me say to you, first of all, this morning, there is too much grace in this place for you to die and go to hell. There's too much grace in this place for you as an individual to spend eternity in hell without God. There's too much grace in this place for you to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Why, preacher? Because Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." You know what a gift is, friend? That's free. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart, a lost man, lost woman, boy or girl, come sit around here long, they're going to get saved. I believe that. You say, "Oh, you all that." No, he is. He is. I'm just scatterbrained enough to get out of his way and let him be. Amen. I asked the preacher one time, I said, "Why has God blessed me?" He said, "Because you're crazy enough, just let him do whatever he wants." I guess that was a compliment. Wonder what it'd be if we'd just let go. If we'd just take our hands off the wheel and let go, ain't no telling what God would do in your life. Why? Because there's too much grace around here for you to die and go to hell. Too much, too much, too much grace. Too much saving grace in this place. Listen, if you die without God, if you die without God, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to bypass the grace of God. You're going to have to step over it. You're going to have to go around it. You cannot die and go to hell without going around the grace of God. Because if you go through the grace of God, you ain't going to hell. You'll be on your way to heaven. Hey, listen, man, you're without excuse this morning. You leave here without getting saved, don't get mad at me. You're crazy. Amen. That'd be the craziest thing I've heard of. Yeah. That'd be like somebody said, "Man, there's a guy with a M60 machine gun sitting out there on the railroad tracks, and he's going to blow everybody's heads off to come out that door. If you want to get away free, go that way." Yeah. Only an idiot would go that way. Maybe the Marine, I don't know. He might go out there and take him out with his K-bar knife, amen? Hallelujah. I love it. Craziest thing in the world would be to leave here today and not know where you're going to spend eternity. You say, "Preacher, you just don't know. You just don't know what all I've done." Hey, I know what the Bible said. I know the Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I don't care how wicked you've been. I don't care how sinful you are. There's more grace than you've got sin. Amen. There ain't nothing God won't forgive if you would ask Him this morning. There ain't nothing He can't wash away. Woo! I liked what He said over there in the Old Testament about blotting out our transgression. I heard Brother Larry Brown say the other day, why did he use the word blot? Why didn't he just say wipe? He said, when you wipe something, it just rubs it in. He said, when you blot, it lifts it away. Ain't you glad you got blotted, amen? Ain't you glad one day in the darkest hour of your life you realized you was going to spend forever and ever in a place called hell, and you cried out on the Lord and He blotted out your transgression, took away your ever sin? Ain't you glad there's more grace than there is sin? How many times have you had to come back? Yeah. and say, God, forgive me, I messed up again and again and again and again. And he said, more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace, and more grace. Come back if you need some more, son. I've got a limit to the supply. There's just too much grace in this place for you to die and go to hell. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe like you believe. I don't care. I ever run up on anybody that crosses every T and dots every I just like I do, I'm staying away from them because that's a weirdo. If you believe everything I believe, you're a nut. Yeah, yeah, amen. Amen. I believe in UFOs. I seen one the other day. Bigfoot. No, I'm kidding. It ain't whether we agree on everything or not. It's whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. It's up to you. There's no in between. Brother Charles taught in his Sunday school lesson. I'm getting hung up right here. I may not even finish it. Brother Charles taught in his Sunday school lesson this morning about paradise. Being there in the center of the earth. And people talk about dying and going to Abraham's bosom. Not no more. Jesus cleaned that out. Jesus cleaned that out. Amen. Ain't no purgatory either. Yeah. Yes. You won't find that word in this book. Nowhere, shape, nor form. Amen. There is no limbo state. Amen. If you're saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Anise is not waiting to see him. She's with him. Yeah. Bobby Floyd is not waiting to see him. She's with him. And the Bible said in Luke 15 that that rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Amen. I'd get that settled. He said, well, I don't want to be a Baptist. Oh, well, that's up to you, friend. But I'd be saved. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I used to work with a man. Tom was his first name. I forgot his last name. Devout Catholic. Came in late every Wednesday morning because he went to an early mass. And we got alone on a job one day, and I don't pick a fight. I ain't gonna fuss with you about nothing. I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe. Help yourself. You've got every right in the world to be wrong. It's not my fault. I was just being inquisitive. I said, Tom, do you consider yourself a Christian? He said, of course. I said, well, I mean, do you believe you can know you're going to heaven when you die? He said, yeah. He said, I'm going to heaven when I die. I said, how do you know? He said, because I trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. He said, I asked him to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart. I thought, wow. I said, yeah, but don't you pray to Mary? He said, nah. I talk to the Lord. I said, do you confess your sins to a priest? He said, yeah, the high priest, Jesus. Yeah. I said, why are you in the Catholic Church? He said, it's where my grandma goes. Now, if I get to heaven, no Tom ain't there, I'm going to be upset. He says, well, you got to be a Baptist. You got rocks in your head. Amen. You got problems, man. He didn't say call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a Baptist and you shall be saved. Yeah. I'd get that thing settled today. Yeah. Amen. 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 But by being a Baptist, you just get the privilege of having the right book. Having the right doctrine. Amen. Amen. Being able to lay your head on your pillow at night and not worry about whether or not you dropped your salvation somewhere along the way throughout the day. Too much grace in this place for you to die and go to hell. Did you get that settled today? Amen. You say, is it that simple? It's that simple. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe in this easy believism. What's hard believism? Yeah. I don't agree in this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just genuinely asking the Lord to forgive you of your sin and be your Savior. Alan got saved at his kitchen table Friday afternoon. Didn't take 10 hours. He didn't have to go through a seven-step program. He just said, Lord, would you save me? Yes! Grace, 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 grace. He just started dealing it out, amen? Woo, I like that. That's how I got in. And if you got in, that's how you got in. It was just under the matchless, marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too much grace in this place for you to die and go to hell. Let me give you another one right quick. There's too much grace in this place for Satan to destroy your home. There's too much grace in this place for the devil to destroy your home. Say it again. There's too much grace in this place for the devil to destroy your home. I'm tired of broken homes. I'm tired of broken lives. I'm tired of little children who think somehow in their heart it's their fault. You say, preacher, how can we divorce-proof our marriage? Stay in the grace of God. Stay in the grace of God, children. Don't walk outside of, sir, scoot up real close next to your wife and hold her by the hand on a church pew Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and say, by the grace of God, smutty face, you ain't getting this marriage. Amen. You ain't getting this one, brother. Not with God's help, you ain't. I know you bad. I know you bad. I know you can destroy and tear up. But my big brother has whooped you time and time and time again. You start messing around here and we'll sick him on you, brother. Amen. Too much grace. I don't know how many marriages we've seen put together, bandaged up, and eventually healed. Weak relationships have become strong. And we've seen some utterly destroyed. What's the difference? The grace of God. Don't sit with the attitude this morning, well, I would never. You next. You next. Well, if that was my husband, I would. He ain't. Get your nose out of other people's stuff. You can't handle what you got? Come on, talk to me this morning. Too much grace in this place for the devil to tear up your home. Amen. Boy, we need to trust him and we need to pray. God, please help us. You ought to sit up in your Sunday school class. Pray God use that teacher. Teach you how to build a good home. Teach you how to build a good relationship with your wife. If you don't think the devil wants it, you got another thing coming. He'd split you up today if he can. He'd take that love you have for one another, make you hate one another's guts. I've had them sit across my desk, look each other dead in the eyeball and say, I hate you. And I've asked the question, was there ever a time when you did love her or did you, or where you did love him? Oh, yeah. I don't think nobody but the devil can do that. Take something that's good and pure and holy and right and turn it into wicked and evil. And that's what hate is. What we ought to hate is him. Amen. The Lord allows us... I guess about 3 weeks, December the 10th, however far that is, Sister Angie and I will be married 25 years. I mean, y'all ought to buy that woman something. I mean, y'all ought to buy her something. She deserves something. I can't afford it. You ought to buy her something. She needs a trophy, a medal, a prize. Amen. Put up with me for 25 years. That's grace. Somebody said, oh, y'all just better than everybody. No. We sorry as the rest of it. But let me rephrase that. She's looking at me like, who are you talking about? We. I'm as sorry as the rest of it. Make no bones about it. The devil has attacked. Stay with me. The object that the devil has attacked God has attached. The thing that the devil has attacked, God has attached a blanket of grace on this union and this relationship. And those fiery darts come and they fly and they come and they come and they just boing, 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 bouncing off that breastplate, blasting off that shield. I mean, brother, when Satan hits the grace of God, there ain't a thing in the world he can do with it. But we got to stay there. You can walk outside it in your marriage. We all right? You get to talking to that lady. Hey, sir, look, men, look at me. You get to talking to that lady down at work who dresses up better for you at work than she does her husband at home. Well, it got quiet on me. You start entertaining a little too much conversation, and it's perfectly innocent, but you know. Some in your heart said, You're stepping out of grace. And you're putting yourself in the wide open with a bullseye. Thinking in your mind, I can handle it. Ain't no man ever been a match for the devil. Ain't no man ever had a fight with Satan and got up to brag about it. Too much grace. Too much grace in this place for us to have any more divorce. Too much grace. Too much grace. You say, preacher, what do I do if I've stepped out? Get back to where you once belonged. Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? Smile at me. Get out. Get back in. Too much grace. Too much grace in this place for you to die and go to hell. Too much grace in this place for the devil to destroy your home. Now I got to quit. Too much grace in this place for you to live a defeated life. It's too much grace. I wish some of you could be happy. I do. I wish some of you could be happy. I wish some of you could just step back and laugh at yourself sometime instead of wearing everything just right on your shoulder. They had to yard sale up here yesterday for Sister Ashley and Brother David Hallford. I went in, Miss Amanda told me, she said, you can't leave, you've got to buy something. I said, well, that's what I come in here for. You go in that gym with her in there, you're going to spend some money. And I went over to this table and I saw these little, this bigger than this, but saw these little things folded up, lacy looking, crochet looking things. I thought there was, what do you call them? The doolies, you put doily. Doily, I thought it was doilies that you put on the coffee table. And there was three of them. There's a dollar a piece. I said, well, Angie loves them things. I'll get them for her. And I bought them three doilies. And I'm going out the door, and Amanda said, you got to get the blanket too. I said, she's lost her mind. I said, I don't want no blanket. She said, it matches. I don't care if my blanket matches my coffee table. I put them things in the bag and laid them on the kitchen table. Angie come in and said, where'd you get these pillow shams? I figured I better tell that before she did. Nothing wrong with laughing, is it? I can laugh at me. I thought it was hilarious. I said, oh man, I know she thinks I'm a nut. No, she knows I am. So my wife's got three pillow shims that don't match nothing. I think she ought to just lay them out on the coffee table. Looked like a dolly to me, amen. Set a plan on it. Won't nobody ever know the difference. Get to the place where you're not living in utter defeat. It's okay to get down every now and then. That's human. It's okay to be a little depressed from time to time. That's human nature. But as Christians, we ought to know more victory than defeat. How do I do that? Stay in the grace of God. Stay in the grace of God. Do you ever pray and ask God for more grace? God, I need your grace. You have to deal with a situation that you know you're not going to handle very well. Lord, I need your grace. I don't deal with confrontation like somebody hollering at me. I don't handle that real well. I just don't. I'm not a big shot, or you know, I know I got these guns here, but I'm not a fighter. I just that's hard. But when I say, God, give me grace. Give me grace to be the man of God I ought to be the daddy I ought to be the husband I ought to be. Lord, help me to hold my head up and not always down and always a sad song to sing. Some of you, no matter what day of the week or what time of the day it is, if I ask you, how are you doing? You're going to tell me something's wrong. I love you. And I hear your problems. But never one time have I shook your hand and said, how are you doing? It's good to be saved, preacher. Amen. You live in the negative. You know what your problem is? You've set up residence in the natural. You come to church and get in a good service every now and then, and you visit the supernatural. But when you leave, you go right back in the natural. And all you can see is bad, because that's all they is. Come on, talk to me. Too much grace in this place for us to put pistols in our mouth. Too much grace in this place for us to lose our mind. Too much grace in this place for us to sing a sad song. I'm telling you, boys and girls, God's been good to me. I know something about His grace. I know something about His mercy. Hey, and if it's all right with y'all, we just gonna waller in it around here. You ever seen them on TV, somebody get a great big old pile of money and they just lay down in it and roll? Won't you get in this altar and roll around the grace of God? Get some on you before you leave here today. Somebody look at you and say, what happened to you? I just fell in a big old pile of grace. What are you grinning about? I've been wallering in grace. I realized this morning how good God is to me. I realize how little I deserve, how gracious and how merciful that He is. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm going to leave here happy. Yes, amen. I come in that way. But I'm going to leave that way too. Why? Because I choose to. Isn't anything wrong, preacher? Oh, bad. Oh, bad. I could tell y'all about some of the financial things we're facing, and y'all run. Find you a church that's got money where wouldn't nothing be asked of you. We hurt. I don't know how many of our men are still out of work praying for them every day. And I sorrow with them and I weep with them. But there's a part of me that's so happy I can't stand it. There's a part of me that just bubbles on the inside. Woo! Hallelujah. What are you saying, preacher? I can go through the tribulation but enjoy the joy of the Lord at the very same time. Amen. I do not have to live in defeat. Don't have to live discouraged. Amen. You say, Lord, how do you handle all that pressure in the financial situations? It ain't mine. This is His. I said, Lord, you owe them people some money. Lord, your insurance is due. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Absolutely, too much grace for you to die and go to hell. Too much grace. I don't see how you can set through it and not trust Him as your Savior.
I don't see how you can hear about the marvelous grace of God. Now, you see, you ain't got no excuse. There may be some poor old fella out there say, I never heard that before in my life. I never heard nothing like that in my life. But you have. You say, well, it's the first time I hear. Once is enough. Once is enough. Bible said, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. That's me, you, that's the Pope, that's everybody. Bible said the wages of sin is death. Wow. But I'm glad somebody paid our price. Amen. Lord said in the book of Romans, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. He paid our bill. And all we got to do is trust it. Too much grace in this place for you to die and go to hell. Too much grace in this place for you to leave with your marriage on the rocks. Too much grace in this place for you to walk out of here this morning ready to give up on everything. Utterly beat down to the ground. Too much grace. Why don't you find you a place and get in it this morning, Brother Todd? Y'all come. Katie, how about you and Ashley come? Sing that God has been good. Can you do that one? No. Whatever you can do, honey. Ashley's got a sore throat. While they're coming to get ready to play and sing, can we just bow our heads together one more time this morning? Nobody looking around. Teenagers, y'all help me out. Let's bow our head. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Listen to me carefully. If you're here this morning, you're not 100% sure that if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I'd like to pray for you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I'm just going to pray that you'll get saved. He said, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about my soul. Please pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Come on, be honest with God. Preacher, I don't know if I died right now. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Preacher, please pray. I need to get this settled in my heart. Just remember me when you pray. Anybody else? If you can really know where you'll spend eternity, I'd like to know. Just pray for me. Anybody right quick? Maybe that second point landed where you live. Maybe you'd just like to slip up your hand this morning. Just quietly and right back down. Preacher, pray for my home. Pray for my home. It ain't necessarily got to mean your home's in trouble. I tell you, my hand's up. God bless your hearts. Thank you so much. Maybe it'd be a good idea. Some husbands would get some wives by the hand. Say, honey, let's go get some of that grace on this relationship. Maybe there's some in here this morning. You came in this morning just about ready to give up. You feel like you're living a life of utter defeat, but you know you're saved. And you know there's joy. You're just having a hard time putting your hands on it. I'd like to pray for you this morning if you'd just slip up your hand. Preacher, pray that I wouldn't live in defeat. God bless your hearts. God bless you so much. Father, as we come to you again this morning, Lord, I don't even know how to say thank you for your grace. Nothing I could ever do to repay it. But Lord, I love you this morning. Thank you for these dear people who are here today. Thank you for those that were honest and raised their hand for whatever need it was in their life. Father, I pray they'd just get down here this morning, get it under grace. Father, help them today. Lord, we'll thank you. We'll give you glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.